Everyone, Pastor Mark here with Harmony Toluca Lake, and thank you for joining us for another short stories segment, part of the Our Story, the podcast. And today, I have special guest Rev Jefferson Beaker with me.
Hi, Mark.
Hello. And today, we are going to, we're going to have a serious conversation because this is a remembrance and an anniversary today, which is the episode's drop date of 9/11, and 23 years ago, a horrible tragedy occurred here in our nation. And so today we want to remember as well as talk about some of the key lessons that we learned during that time as well as what should be applied today. So, Rev J, how would you like to start?
Well, first of all, where were you on 9/11? What were you doing when you heard the news?
Wow. I remember my alarm clock went off, but my alarm clock would go off with the radio. I woke up to hearing this chaos, and I was like, what is going on? It wasn't right. Something wasn't right. And then I heard that, oh my gosh, a plane has gone into one of the Twin Towers. And so then I got out of bed and went to the TV to watch. And suddenly I was like, oh, this is now a walking nightmare.
Yes.
And so that's what I woke up to that morning. And then, of course, just the tragedy just kept getting worse and worse.
It did.
And for you?
It really did. I was asleep. My housemate at the time worked on Access Hollywood, and he got called in to work because anything having to do with news agencies, they called all the people in. And he woke me up. I was off that day. I was working on the soap opera Port Charles at ABC doing wardrobe, but I was off that day. He said, get up and get to the TV as he ran out the door. Mm-hmm. And I had not seen the first plane, but then I saw the second one. And of course, the immediate thought is, what's next? How this is so unbelievable. I couldn't find words. I just I called ABC and they said, we're not taping today. We're sending everybody home. I mean, who could do anything like a soap opera on a day like that?
Right.
You were just totally devastated.
Yeah, and it changed the trajectory of everything. Everything just changed overnight.
It did.
But it was weird. I remember watching television, and it was unfathomable. It was like, is this real? It almost felt like it was something out of the movies, special effects.
It did.
And then suddenly you're going, this is real. This is reality. Right. And it ties into a conversation I had just a couple of months ago with Ruth Williamson, who was in New York City at the time, and she shared about her experience.
Right. I think any of us who had lived in New York had some relationship with the towers, even if they were just over there and you could see them in the skyline. Mm-hmm. So you had some relationship. So you sort of felt like that was a part of you. The only time I was ever in one of the towers, I went up to a friend's office on the 16th floor. I have a fear of heights. I would not go to the top. But I went up to the 16th floor, and even then was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that was some years before. But for me, as the day unfolded, and we found out that a plane went into the Pentagon— and then a plane went down in a field in Pennsylvania. I remember looking at the Pentagon, and I'm from Washington, D.C. My parents had worked in the Pentagon at one time, and I still had friends at the time who either worked at the Pentagon or worked for the Army and were in and out of there all the time. And so I was panicking for them as well. I didn't know where they were. I couldn't get anybody on the phone. And it was sort of, okay, four planes, and you're sort of sitting on pins and needles wondering, is this it, or is there something else?
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Yeah, I remember about the telephones. I was trying to call people, and I couldn't get through.
Couldn't get through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a frightening time. And then I remember in 2008, when I went to New York City, And of course, there's this gaping hole, but also the memorial was starting to be built.
Right.
But I was still extremely moved, and it was, it's hard to describe the feeling, because they had the fence around the entire site, still with pictures and
yes.
posters and the notes. And it just was, it was just devastating to again see that, read it, take it all in, to know these were loved ones that lost their lives due to this horrific incident.
Horrific incident. That happened in September. That June, I had gone with friends to Washington, D.C. to a Stephen Sondheim event at the Kennedy Center. So we were there over the weekend, and they left, and I stayed another week. And I was with a friend, and we were driving from Washington, D.C. over the 14th Street Bridge to pick up another friend in Arlington to go to dinner. And when you drive over the bridge, it's interesting, the last thing you see on the D.C. side is the Jefferson Memorial, and the first thing you see on the Virginia side is the Pentagon. So we're on the freeway, and we go by the Pentagon, and I see this gaping hole. And to my surprise and the shock of my friend who was driving, I burst into tears. It was surreal. It was just unbelievable. And I still couldn't believe that this had happened and that people were still trying to sort it out. And there was rebuilding that had to happen. But the rebuilding was not only of the structure itself, but people had to rebuild their lives. And for a lot of these people, they were trying to rebuild their lives without the presence of a loved one
yes.
who had lost their life.
And that that leads me to some things I was thinking about for us to discuss is some of the key things, lessons that we learned during that time, but also how do we apply that to our society today? So for an example, I remember during that time frame that we unified, we came together as a nation, as a people, as communities, and we witnessed this amazing solidarity for one another from all walks of life. It didn't matter your political beliefs, your religious beliefs. It didn't matter about race. It was just everyone came together to support one another.
They did. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And that night, we had a prayer service at our church, very spontaneously. People were just showing up to see if there was a prayer service, and so we had the doors open. People turned to Spirit, to God in that moment for some reassurance and some guidance, and because we all had to heal.
Yeah.
No matter whether we were directly involved in it or not, we all had trauma because there's that fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's next.
Yeah,
we really don't.
Well, and I want to go back to that in just a second, but as I was thinking about the unity and diversity, one of the things that has occurred is we seemingly have forgotten the importance of that. As the years have moved forward, it seems more of partisan divides, religious divides, and we forget that this nation was built, and our strength is in our diversity. And so I'm hoping that we can find more common ground with each other, as well as accept the differences that we have, because we've got to get past this partisan divide. If
we
don't,
we're walking
into dangerous territory.
We do. And we hope that we can get past it without some horrific incident happen.
Right.
We had the invasion of the Capitol in 2021, and that was just totally overwhelming. And we think, is this where we're headed? No, we don't want to be headed there. We want to find a way to bring people together, not split them further apart.
Right.
But unfortunately, there are forces that seem to want to split us apart.
Yes. Well, that's
so
what,
I think yeah. we, the church or people of faith or however you want to word it, need to be very strong in the face of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it is important to remember occasions like 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people who aren't around that were, they weren't born yet, mm-hmm. or they were very young. Most
right.
of our congregation.
Right, it's true.
The last time we had a 9/11 remembrance on a Sunday morning, people came up and said, I have no reference for that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to remember, and part of that remembering is educating.
Well, I think that's the reason why we need to bring up those lessons that we learned and how we apply it to today, because we've forgotten.
Yes.
Perfect example is you're going back to talking about the religious services that were occurring at that time. Why does it take a tragedy? Why does it take a tragedy of that magnitude to say to everybody, "Ooh, I need to get to church.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get right with God. I need to center myself. I need to find where my community is." And why does it take that?
Yes. I wish I had a clear answer to that because I don't. I think wouldn't it be wonderful if people had a continual relationship with God or with church or with spirit in some way that built a foundation for them so that when things happen, you can get through it. We seem to just be so blindsided. And for a lot of people, it's, oh, yeah, maybe I should pray. Or, mm-hmm. oh, I hadn't even thought of that. There's a church. Maybe I should go over there.
I think probably one of the reasons why we're having such issues around this is, well, a recent topic that you and I talked about, Christian nationalism.
Yeah.
And it's embedded itself now into church, and we have to be so very careful. But one of the things that church should do, is promote healing, promote reconciliation, to get beyond the differences that we may be having with one another. Because what was Jesus' message about? It was about love, grace, mercy, forgiveness.
Inclusion.
Yes.
It was welcome.
And diversity.
Yes, absolutely.
Another lesson that I was thinking about too was the importance of community, where people turned to their neighbors in need, in support, wanting just to sit down, sometimes in silence, turning to local organizations. I remember people saying, oh, I want to go help. I want to help people in need. And so that was a beautiful thing that came out of this this horrific tragedy. But now it's as though we need to again understand that that hasn't stopped, that need, that this allows us to get stronger when we are taking care of one another, where people feel valued and heard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You said it. They want to be heard. They want to be understood. And we need to be more diligent about leaning into that.
Mm-hmm.
I think on 9/11, it was so beautiful. If you remember, all the people that rushed down to help.
Oh, yes.
They wanted to help. And most of them couldn't get in there and help for one reason or another. But the desire was there.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do something.
Yes.
They physically needed to do something. And we've lost a lot of that.
Yes. So we need to, again, seek that out and be active in that action of wanting to help and support one another.
Right.
I think that other thing you mentioned earlier was about rebuilding, that during that time frame, we found ways to rebuild, but also to honor the loss of life, those loved ones, as well as those who were mourning, but also how we moved forward with hope.
As though
we're losing the hope, and where is the resilience? Because in these times of division and conflict, this is where we need to be cultivating that.
We do, and we need to do it in our backyard, and we need to do it internationally.
Yes.
We cannot afford to be isolationists.
Yes, which goes into my last point as we were wrapping this conversation up, is that unfortunate incident, the horror, did bring about prejudice.
Yes, it did.
And so at that time, the prejudice, the bias, was aimed toward the Muslim community.
And unfortunately, that has not subsided.
Exactly.
It's if you remember, soon after 9/11, as they were rebuilding, and a mosque was to be built. And I don't know if they ever, I think they did go through with it in that area where the, and there was much uproar about that. And my thought was, people of faith and of that faith need a place to go. They need a place to go. I mean, you can imagine what it is if you were a part of a nationality that has done something horrific, and it comes back on you for no reason. It's right. So sad.
Well, and so that prejudice was so honed in on the Muslim community that it was almost as though, yeah, there's other prejudices, but it was really focused.
Yeah.
But then as the years have progressed, we have seen that bias and prejudice extend beyond, again, for those in the LGBTQ community, for an example,
right.
women,
absolutely.
Where this has really taken on, it's again, just horrible. But I'm thinking to myself, how do we offset this? Because that's a lesson that we have got to learn. And how do we apply that to our lives? And to me, it's education is key.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But also dialogue.
Dialogue.
Jesus told us to be relational with one another.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're supposed to do, is connect.
Right.
And if we don't connect with one another on a heart level and a mind level, and I would also spiritual level, what are we doing?
Exactly. I think it's so important that at the site of the Twin Towers, at the Pentagon, at this field in Pennsylvania, there are memorials there that cause us to reflect back and remember and hopefully have new learning moments that, okay, we need to go forward in a very loving way to reach out to people to find common ground, not to seek out the things that separate us, but to seek out the things for which we have in common.
Yes. So I want to thank you for this conversation.
Sure.
I know it's been short. We could talk a lot more.
Yes.
But I also want to extend appreciation to our listening audience for the short story segment. It is always a joy to be able to connect with you and talk about relevant topics. And we look forward to connecting with you again soon. But in the meantime, please download, share, tell others about the short stories and the Our Story, the podcast. And we wish you well on this day and always. Peace.
Peace.